What's going on, workforce? Brian here, and today we've got a special guest, Kevin, who's joining Chris over there in Anaheim, California, having had hands-on impressions with Diablo Immortal. Obviously, I think we want to get their thoughts on both the gameplay and essentially maybe even the announcement. What is the overall mood there at BlizzCon this year? I'm gonna turn it over to Chris to kind of take it from here, because you got to play it, and I want to know how it plays.
Yeah, I played it today. It was one of the last things I did before leaving for the day. I got to do everything I wanted to do today. There were a handful of panels that I missed, so I'd like to watch those looking back. But overall, I feel very good about the experience at BlizzCon this year. It was my first year. When you talk about Diablo, the announcement was taken really poorly yesterday. Now, yesterday started late due to security issues. They had some technical issues on stages. So, like, I can't imagine that yesterday is something that Blizzard is just 100% looking back and being like, yeah, we should totally do it like that next time.
Right. It just felt like with Diablo being the pinnacle, the ending of the event, that it feels like it might have gone over way better if it was before Overwatch or something like that.
I had heard with... might have been a rumor that Overwatch was supposed to be the last part of opening. And so if that, I mean, that probably would have played better, but because of the audio problems, they had to, you know, cut immediately. And, and then everything else was kind of out of whack after that a little bit. So
yeah, it's kind of hard. Like if, for anybody who has never done like audio, video and live presentations, like if something can go wrong, it's going to go wrong. And it's obviously, because like one of the things that I, as watching it from the remote, there was a time where the stream went completely down. And I think that's probably the same time that the audio was down, that all of those things happen. And then you're just trying to scramble to get everything back on track, because like Chris said, y'all started 15 minutes late. And then from there, it just kind of probably spiraled out.
We had glow sticks that were supposed to be this big stunt, and it just had a piece of paper that's like, we will signal you when you're supposed to turn on the glow sticks, and that never happened. And I assume that that's because there's going to be some big, the lights turn low and it's really cool, and that just didn't happen. And so I know just from having an unbroken glow stick that it didn't go the way it was intended. Now, that being said, today I got to sleep on it, and then I got to wake up and go play Diablo Immortal today, and I really liked it. Like, what were your impressions of the gameplay?
So there's always the case where when you're using like a control stick on a phone surface, that it's never quite as precise as you want. But like with that caveat, I actually thought it was pretty good. A good for a phone representation of a Diablo game. Like I played the Wizard and I was able to blink where I wanted to blink. I was able to aim it very precisely.
Yeah.
I was able to aim my spells where I wanted them to go. I felt like I was able to kite mobs the way you normally do in a Diablo game. You know, you're like shooting backwards and then running forwards and then blinking and all that stuff. Like it played like a Diablo game just on a phone.
Yeah, Diablo, for all case and purposes, as a touch interface, like as a part of a mouse clicking, you know, action RPG, it just felt like that was kind of natural. I think the biggest shock for me as an outsider looking in, somebody who is not there, you know, and seeing what is all happening, was that, like, yeah, that sounds great. Like, can I play it on a platform that I play games on? You know, am I going to be playing this game like a, and oh, guess what? Phone call came in, and sorry guys, I totally got kicked from the raid, because I had to take this phone call. Cause literally I'm on a phone.
phone actually disconnected, because they were all trying to talk to each other so you could do co-op play, and it asked them if you wanted to reconnect. So it seems like they may have features like that that they're already anticipating. They also had a few features turned off. Like when I clicked on my equipment, it said, you know, this has been disabled for BlizzCon. So they clearly had that screen ready to go. And they handed us our level 20 characters so that we were ready to at least get a good feel for the game. Okay. When I came across it, it was an upgrade. It popped up a little button. It's like, hey, this is an improvement. You want it, you tap it. So the UI was clean.
Yeah. Obviously, this is development, but yeah. So it could change.
That button was like over to the side, so it wasn't like covering your main play field, you know. And if you wanted to ignore it because you're busy fighting, you could ignore it and then deal with it, you know, when you were ready.
So. Okay, yeah. That sounds intuitive.
The resource management was gone. There wasn't like a mana system, so they simplified it to the phone, and I basically just had all my abilities on cooldown.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt really natural. It jumped me you know, I.
So you
I,
say resource I management, it was that.
I want to.
Right. Yes. Resource management was gone. It was all cooldown based for your abilities. Yes. So you can do this ability every 10 seconds, this one every 40. Go ahead, Kevin.
Sorry, you had one button that was like the largest button on the thumb, and that one had no cooldown. You could just spam it. And then I think it was four spells that had, you know, varied cooldowns, so you could cycle through them.
I might have a little footage. I wasn't trying to make it. I don't know whether or not, like, they wanted me, like, sitting all there, taking up a ton of space, trying to. So I'll try to get some to you that you can kind of overlay us right now, Brian. But okay. Remember, this is just a demo. So right. I wouldn't be shocked if it changes again. We don't have a release date. I think given a chance to have hands on the demo, Diablo didn't have its own stage. So it wasn't meant to be this like be all end all of BlizzCon that it's kind of become in the press. It had a stage that it was sharing, but there was no stage that was themed in all Diablo stuff. Mm. Diablo just had its own area that was split half between Switches because Diablo on the Switch released during BlizzCon.
Yeah.
And the other half was phones.
So it's obviously like as gamers go, like, you know, somebody like we're all gamers. We all get passionate and exciting. And that ties into kind of the narrative because I think it was you, Kevin, we were talking previously before actually sitting down on this call saying like Polygon had an article saying that Diablo 4, don't expect Diablo 4 at BlizzCon. And it's that, you know, you can't ever really, anticipate the vast, you know, how many people actually see that message, how many people actually do that, because even if you tell me, like, especially almost if you tell me, like, hey, by the way, Diablo 4 is definitely not at BlizzCon, there's a part of me that goes, it's totally at BlizzCon, it's totally coming, at least not this year.
The panel today, at the beginning of the panel, I ended up skipping out of it to go see the WoW Classic panel.
Yeah,
it was the engineering, they were talking about kind of the development process behind everything. And
software engineers.
You know, so it's these software developers. There's like, I think, five of them on stage. And I'm pretty sure it was three of them that said, and I'm working on a project that I can't tell you what it is. Yeah. So now that could be three separate projects. They could all be on the same project. That could be three of 10 projects.
And they were also, some of them were back end developers. So maybe it was like a new web service or it could have been anything. So,
right. Yeah. And so it just does remind you that Blizzard isn't in the habit of telling you things because you have to remember, like,
right.
Overwatch came out of like the scraps of a previously canned project. So
correct.
these could be projects that never see the light of day, or these could be the next big thing. So when you look at the Diablo franchise, to say that it's going to get a Diablo 4, it's going to get another expansion, that is possible, but it's also possible it's not.
Right.
So I think they just weren't ready to talk about anything that firm.
Yeah, I think essentially the frustration for me is that, I mean, you're telling me about it. It sounds like they've taken the console version and even simplified it further. And from, like, and this is one of the complaints I've had about Nintendo before Nintendo started putting IP on phones, right? Is that at some point, your audience is going to outgrow where you are because you're not where the audience is, especially the younger audience. Diablo Mobile, Diablo Immortal can easily be a gateway to help introduce new players who did not grow up with the franchise to the franchise and then invite them to something bigger. Diablo 3, Diablo on Switch. Obviously, that just came out. But the biggest root of all the problem, I think, I don't know. I mean, you guys let me know if we all agree here. And I'd love to know, you know, people in the comments as well, if you agree, is the delivery. Like, you know, they did not know their audience. I mean, in this sense, like they know they need to make the announcement, but with technical issues, whatever happened, it ends up being last, which last typically from any kind of thing is usually where you want to end. That's where you stick the landing. That's where you go into the thing and everybody's charged up. In this case, that, you know, that didn't happen, but your core audience, you got guys sitting in orc outfits. You have guys who've been playing since Diablo 1, who go to BlizzCon every year, who are diehard fans, who are waiting. It's been 6 years since Diablo 3, who are literally waiting for what's next. And having Diablo, what's next? Like, it just, you know, people are going to make whatever.
On schedule, that was the panel name, because they haven't revealed the name yet. So it said, what's next Diablo? Now, the moment that announcement was made, when you pulled up the BlizzCon app that has the schedule on it, that had been changed to what's next Diablo Immortal.
Yeah.
And the other thing is it was the first what's next panel on schedule. And typically that's been like the new WoW expansion, the new game, because they end the opening and say, hey, here's our big announcement. Here's the panel about
it. We're not going to make you wait. And so it just is this, whether it's a comedy of errors whether it's whatever it is, it's that it could really, well, and that's the thing, like you guys, technical issues, but yeah.
And in the middle of the opening, like the, I mean, there would still be disappointed people, but mm-hmm. the opening
yeah.
might
yeah.
have been different. And so we were starting because we've been in security so long. So we went and got lunch during the Diablo one. Yeah. So like we would have heard this announcement in the middle.
Yeah.
Missed the what's next, maybe gone back and watched it later, but I would have had no expectation of this.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's kind of dominated with like, Ash really should have dominated BlizzCon.
Yes.
And they had Ashes here. So one of the cool things they do at BlizzCon is they reach out to either existing cosplayers or existing costume makers and models or Blizzard employees, mm-hmm. and they give them this information and they're embargoed. But then once the announcement's made about Ash, all of a sudden there are Ashes to take pictures.
Everywhere, yeah, absolutely.
And they're, of course, very well done because, you know, they're professional.
This is my cardboard box cut out there where it says, Ash, I'm a cosplayer.
Yeah.
So I got a question then. It's like, so you guys hands-on with it. It's a simplified version of the console. Like, I like playing Diablo with the sticks. Like, it feels comfortable. I really have enjoyed it on Xbox. I'm tempted to get it on Switch. I just, when I look at my content schedule, I just like, if I can find the time, which I can't right now. But as far as it goes, like Diablo 3, I think has been, you know, for where it launched to where it is today, has been really successful. So Diablo Immortal then, is that you guys said there was a line like in our pre-call, like, you know, the day of, but you guys were there. How's the mood around the BlizzCon about this game? Like, is it everybody positive or just not thinking there's a big deal? Go ahead, Kevin.
My experience was when we were sitting during the initial announcement in that crowd, everyone was like, what the hell, right?
Yeah.
But then, you know, the same day, there was a long line for people to try it. Like, mm-hmm. I waited a decent amount, maybe not as long as WoW Classic, but, you know, or maybe not as long as Overwatch, but, you know, it was a decent line. Mm-hmm. And then while I was playing it, like, the people around me were just, like, talking to their friend, like, hey, this actually isn't that bad, or like, hey, this is better than I expected. Mm-hmm. And I honestly didn't expect that. I thought, you know, people would be crapping on it, like, at the demo based on what I'd heard mm-hmm. in the audience, right?
Yeah.
And so it's sort of like a expectation versus experience thing, you know? Like the people that actually got their hands on it, like, hey, this is okay.
Right. It's every bit as polished or more polished than Fallout Shelter.
Would you say that's a comparison to this? Would you say that this should be or should have been packaged like, and then we have this, you know, it's like.
This is a dedicated event that is just for their diehard fans and virtual ticket holders. And that was not the place for this. Okay. It should have been at an E3 or
Gamescom or, yeah.
Yeah, they, just, you know, that was all happening. Like all of that could have been, you know, I guess they weren't ready at that time, you know.
I think they might have just misread their audience. Like maybe they just thought their core audience would be.
So that's a great point, Kevin. And that kind of ties to something that's been a narrative that Chris and I have been having back and forth and then the community's been engaging with, is that misreading. Like do you feel that, like, you got to go play WoW Classic. I think we definitely should talk about that, you know, because as it relates to it. But like misreading, how do you feel? What is the temperature gauge with the relationship that the players have with Blizzard as a developer? It seems, and this is just my my perspective, I'm not saying this is a fact, but it seems that the relationship right now is strained, and I don't think what happened here at BlizzCon helps that narrative at all. It just adds fuel to the fire. And so I'd like to know your take on that, Kevin. I'd like to also, you know, I know kind of Chris's thoughts, but I'd like you guys to kind of weigh in.
In terms of Blizzard as a whole, I feel like it's like splintered. Okay. So it depends on which community you're looking at, right? Like the Overwatch people seem pretty happy. Mm-hmm. Hearthstone people seem pretty happy. The Diablo people are pretty upset. They were upset before this because they haven't had anything for a while.
Right.
And a lot of people disappointed the Necromancer and, you know, like all this other stuff. And like, you know, the initial Diablo 3 release was so botched, even though they fixed it with Reaper.
Mm-hmm.
And the WoW community, the retail WoW community, they, like, BFA was like a highly polished game that like doesn't quite meet their content expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like this initial experience was like, this seems okay, let's give it a shot. And like, oh, actually these like problems that we complain about in beta didn't get fixed, aren't being addressed, and people feel like it's less of a game than Legion was. And we went to the WoW Next What's Next panel, and if you look at their content schedule, their patch schedule, it's like, oh, we're releasing this thing that's like the thing in Legion. This 1.5 or 8.15 patch is like the 7.15 patch from Legion. Yeah. You know, 0.2 patch is like the 7.2 patch from Legion.
And I know how that feels with Final Fantasy right now. That's my fear going into the next Final Fantasy expansion because of that. Man. Anyway, that's a topic for another day on that. But so like, go ahead.
So like the classic communities, an interesting beast because it's a combination of like people who are just nostalgic for original WoW, people who still play current WoW but want to try original because they missed out. And there's also this like private server community, people who play on, you know, these like third party servers and like the really like hardcore people, and they want everything to be exactly the same. And there's sort of this cycle of like announcements and expectations being raised and then like a lot of doubts creeping in. And so like that demo came out, and one of the things in the classic demo that it does is because they know it's like this rush of people, they want everyone to have an opportunity, they don't want the servers to go down, they have this sharding technology that they did they start that in Warlords? Or anyway, it's a modern WoW technology that like separates players into like copies of the same world.
Yeah, it's I think it's brilliant. It makes so much sense.
It's technology, but it's antithetical to that classic WoW experience of this is my server, this is like a living world. If I tell my friend I'm gonna get this point in the Barrens and he can walk there and I'll see him, right?
Yeah.
And that's very important because like the thing that differentiates classic from modern WoW is that like sense of community, that sense of a world. Mm-hmm. And so there was not enough communication that like, hey, this is not something that's going to be normal in classic WoW. We're doing this for this demo to handle the load. And maybe when it launches, there's they expect like a spike at the start and like they might have to turn it on in the starting zones for a little bit. But Ian also mentioned in one of the talks, was the classic talk?
The classic talk.
He was like, there's only going to be one Kha'Zix on your server, the world boss. Like, if you go to Kha'Zix and your buddy goes to Kha'Zix, you're going to be able to see each other. You can't have two copies of Kha'Zix. That's like antithetical to that game.
Yeah.
And so it's in this cycle of the demo comes out, people play it, they find these imperfections, and then the panel comes out, they address those imperfections, and then people come up with new complaints, and then the Q&A comes out, and they address those complaints.
Yes.
It's like a really rapid cycle, and a lot of players can't keep up with that, or they don't keep up with it. You know, they're not, like us, not literally at BlizzCon, or like reading every news site, and so they're still like,
and we went to every panel
that was on
classic WoW.
Yeah, and so there's like someone who just downloaded the demo yesterday and they're not following all this other stuff, and then they go on Reddit, and the way, you know, Reddit works is like the highest posted thing from 2 days ago or whatever, it's still going to be at the top, and they just see like people complaining about the sharding and they don't immediately see, oh, that was addressed hours ago, you know.
Internet.
Getting back to, you know, the original, like, so there is like pockets of people who are like happy with what Blizzard doing, confident with what they're doing, and then other people who are like really lacking confidence, you know. And I think it's not as cohesive as it once was, where you can be like, yeah, I just love everything Blizzard makes, you know.
So where do you fall in that, in that group? Because obviously it's a heat map, you know. Mm-hmm. So where do you fall personally?
I'm sort of like an optimist generally.
It's a good thing to be. Us gingers have to be optimists.
And so like, I have not been raiding in BFA, but that's not anything that BFA did, you know, because one of the things is my WoW experience is I play with my friends, I play with my guildmates, you know. I've just been, you know, busy. I got a new job recently, and so I haven't had time to like go out and raid and like get that stuff done. But nothing specific to BFA put me off personally any more than any other expansion.
Okay,
you know?
Cool. Yeah, I totally get it. I think there's probably a vast majority of gamers out there that understand the work-life balance, especially as it relates in any time in our lives. Like, it just feels like there's way more awesome games that I want to play. Everybody's like, you got to play Red Dead. It's like, yeah, like, it sounds like amazing. I look for something called time and it doesn't exist, and I have to prioritize. Yeah. Congrats on your new job, by the way.
Thanks. But yeah, so, and like for Diablo, I will come back sometimes for a season, get some of the, whatever that progression thing is called in it, you know, like if I have time, and then I'll play it as much as I can, and then I stop. And like, you know, Overwatch, the Halloween event came, so I played it for the Halloween event a little bit, but I'm not going to like, you know, keep playing it, so, yeah.
Okay, all right. Chris, what about you on a heat gauge on a temperature map? How are you feeling? Did you get to play the classic WoW like as well, or is it you just decided?
No. I went up and spent time in the Darkmoon Fair, which is something that's here, I guess, every year. But I was new, so I wanted to really kind of go booth to booth. But the group I'm here with, most of them went and played it, and they got screenshots and stuff. And I had a lot of questions, and so the panels were actually more informative to me than playing it. As a ticket holder, I can download it and play it right now. But after going to the panels, I know that the demo is not going to answer the questions that I have.
Right.
I played WoW Classic. I played December after it came out. So, I mean, I was there when this was all new. So questions like, is our weapon skill back and things like that? The answer is yes. How are they dealing with the fact that now we have all these party finders, and back then you used to have to just go spam and chat for 40 minutes. They actually use that exact example and say, we want that. We love the idea that you have a reputation on your server as being highly geared or nice to spend time with or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so people reach out to you directly instead of wanting to go spam chat for a random person. And that there's this culture that forms on a server, and they want all of that back. And so any system that gets in the way of that is not going to be there.
Right. So what would be the long-term benefits of this? Are they bringing in progression to this so that the game evolves? Because at some point, like, it's like, here's your classic, nothing's going to change with it.
Yeah.
At some point, you're going to be like, well, this was a fun memory, you know, trip in memory lane, but we're out.
So the furthest they could back it up to was 1.12, so right at the beginning there. And their plan is to play from 1.12. We'll have Molten Core and Amixia
and the world bosses.
And the world bosses as our first go. Just like on the initial launch, the PvP system wasn't there, and it still won't be, because the PvP rewards would actually offset the raid rewards. And so then there will be a second bucket of content that includes things like PvP, a different round of dungeons. We'll eventually get to the point where we're doing like the AQ stuff again, and you'll have to unlock all that. So there's kind of these four stages in each bucket. They have kind of, here's what we're thinking as far as tiers that'll be in that grouping. There wasn't any dates on that. There wasn't any, oh, these will guaranteed all drop on the same day, or this will be a series of content patches, but we're going to go back and release it the way it was released the first time. It's more about, we want to be authentic to the experience, and we want to be respectful of the player base and it to be fun. And let's just get through that. And then we'll decide, is there going to be a Burning Crusade classic, or do we get to the Burning Crusade, unlock the portal, hit reset again, and just keep playing
WoW Classic? Just keep going and do that. Yeah.
It doesn't, that conversation just isn't ready to be had.
Right, because it's going to have to see what kind of volume of people are there. Like, hey, we've got 40 people that play WoW Classic, and that is it. Well, let's
and how
just...
fast they progress, because none of this stuff is new this time, so progression won't have that same, we know how all the boss fights work.
Yeah.
So are they going to have to squish the content schedule? I don't know.
So YouTube really wasn't a thing back in the day, right? So it's that essentially, if you have guides, you know how to do that. If you're looking at making YouTube and YouTube videos, like making these kind of guides for these kind of fights, all of a sudden become completely relevant again, depending on the audience reception. So anyway, pro tip for anybody out there who wants to make classic guides, that it's kind of neat to see that if this is successful, that these games can kind of live in these kind of timepieces, these, you know, these time capsules, like you said, like whether it's like, you know, we hit all the end of progression and now it's 1.0 recycled and over again, or do we go to Burning Crusade? Like, it's an interesting problem to solve. Kevin, I think you were about to say something.
Yeah. So like, as an example of that, the Four Horsemen from Nexramus, which is always, people say like, that's, you know, the pinnacle of like a difficult fight. Like one of the reasons it took so long to defeat was no one thought Blizzard would make a fight where they require you to have 8 tanks. And so no one just had tried that for a while. And then finally someone tried it, and it was like the key that unlocked it. And like all these guilds killed it like one after the other right after that. And that's not going to happen again. Everyone knows you need 8 tanks for Four Horsemen now.
Right. So, yeah. Unless they change the mechanics. 9 tanks, you fools.
Go against what, like, Eden with speed.
Right, like, where they literally want to take the exact asset library, and the word was sacrosanct, right?
Yeah.
They want to treat it as this basically holy grail. And as long as it's not structurally incapable of using the actual grail itself, that's what we want to use where possible. It was a very like historic preservation way of looking at it. And it was incredibly respectful. And my understanding from the few community members that they've had talk on it is this team seems to, where possible, be made of people who either were at Blizzard back then or were heavily involved in the community back then and have gone on. Many of the people who talked, like the guy for Warcraft 3, said the reason he has the passion to become the level of developer he is because of that game. So they have gone off, lived this whole life just so that one day they could dream of coming and creating a game they were this passionate about. And now they're working on the exact game that got them in.
There was a woman at the engineering panel who said her life was on like a completely different track. And one of her friends showed her Diablo 1. And it like, she's like, oh, this is awesome. How do people make this? And she like taught herself programming. Mm-hmm. And now she's like working on stuff for Blizzard because someone like just showed her Diablo 1 in like 1996 or 1997 or whatever.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
The people there, like they're passionate about it. You know, like,
yeah. I think a lot of times we look at, you know, like Mike handing the reins off to, I think it's Jeff and Jay. Drawing a blank on names, but yeah. seeing that naturally we age, right? And so naturally the Blizzard's been around a long time. And so seeing some of the reins get handed off and seeing there be more and more franchises within Diablo, they've obviously had to expand their team. And so a lot of times it gets thrown around the community. I think you and I were talking about this last night, that like people say things like, well, it's not like there's even people at Blizzard that still care. All those people are long gone. Panels today were made up of people of, I think one of the panels, the guy with the least experience on the panel had been on that team for 10 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because people look at these like sort of high profile people that left, like I think Bill Roper and stuff like that, and they went off to like try to form their own companies and make their own games outside of Blizzard, and you have this like list, but it's like when people point out these lists, it's like, oh, this is like 12 people.
Yeah.
Like hundreds of people work at Blizzard and like a lot of them have been there for a long time, you know? So
yeah. That's really good to know. That's, you know, that puts it into context. Sorry, Chris, I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I just, and they didn't all start this way. Some of them are the original guys, right? Mm-hmm. Like I was a programmer on this team. We were unrefined back then, so I could get by being inexperienced. And now I'm the lead developer on what X project. Some of them were, I was an graphics artist and now I'm in charge of level design. So they clearly gained skill sets and moved up the ladder. But I overall, kind of get back, my heat map is, this is my first BlizzCon.
Yeah.
So it really reinvigorated for me a lot of the passion that I forget Blizzard has. It's easy to be like, they merged with Activision. Activision owns them. They're just these corporate sellouts. And they're not. They really do creatively function totally outside of Activision. And on paper and press releases, they say that Activision doesn't exert creative control over Blizzard. But you're like, yeah, sure they don't. But then you realize after being here, they run so differently that Activision couldn't be the ones. So if they're making mistakes, it's because Blizzard is perfectly capable of making their own mistakes.
Yeah.
They don't need Activision to step in a mud puddle. They are perfectly capable of spoiling things on their own. But that also means that they're perfectly capable of taking passion and vision. And even when you listen to like an Activision press release like about their stock and stuff, Blizzard has its own line. It's Activision Games, Blizzard Games. They have their own budgets. They have their own profits. They are treated much more like a subsidiary.
Well, they're almost like co-equal. It's just like they use the Activision name and then they consolidated sort of their like high level like business people that don't really like affect the actual like game design or production.
Right.
We're going to take X billion dollars and start a new property. Where's that going to come from? That's an Activision conversation.
So that looks, let's loop that back into kind of the concept of the topic of Diablo Immortal for a second though, because from then the development side of it, we see Activision, you see Bungie being kind of a role in there, Bungie being a part of the Battle.net with Diablo 2, you know, then you have the new Call of Duty being a part of Battle.net. So there's obviously those connections that it's easy to, for like, you know, people to on the outside to look in and say, well, obviously that, you know, they're who owns who here. But there's also things that Activision's done. Bungie recently announced that some Chinese investors have invested a lot of money so that Bungie can be a more than one game studio. This is like a really poorly timed announcement that happened last year, especially with how Destiny 2 was being handled at the time. Obviously, then the relationship with NetEase, who is developing Diablo Immortal, it makes it feel like it's less of a Bungie game, or not Bungie game, but it feels like, is it something where, like, is this, like, you talk about the passion, you talk about Blizzard being its own company, but what is it then? It's like, you know, Chris speculated on our last video that, like, well, yeah, you know, they're doing the art assets and things like that, and then they're, you know, then they're shipping that over. I mean, we don't know who's doing what, but it just feels like that Diablo Immortal does have a little bit more. The impression that I have that Activision, through those relationships, through that, like, hey, listen, let's do this, and you know, that's where I'm coming from. I don't know if any of that makes any sense
to me. That if they are doing that, that's like a facilitation role, probably, right? Okay. That's my speculation, right? Because one of the things I was thinking about as we've been talking about Diablo Immortal is, like, any company now has to look at Fortnite and think about what Fortnite is and what Fortnite's doing. This is a game where you can play it on your phone against someone on a computer, against someone on an Xbox, against someone more recently on a PlayStation, right?
Exactly. Like,
a game where the name of the game is ubiquity, right? Mm-hmm. So if you look at Diablo Immortal from the lens of a post Fortnite world, like, it doesn't have the crossplay or anything yet, but this is like, people are ready, it seems, to play like big boy on their phone, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and then even going further, Microsoft announcing xCloud, Sony with their PlayStation Now, like, a lot of it's like, how do we get the console level experience, the PC level experience in your hands wherever you are? There's Microsoft likes to say there's over a billion gamers out there, but console adoption maybe hits 100 million, you know, and if you hit 100 million with a console like that, you are in an elite class for that generation. And so like, the thing is, like, and I've said it before and I'll keep saying it, it's like I saw Diablo Immortal and I was excited, and then it's like, oh, here's, it's coming to someplace I'm not ever going to play it. And just like you said with Fortnite, it's actually, that's 100% right. Fortnite has set a new standard. Then you see PUBG going in that direction. You see games going in that direction. And I think it's brilliant. I think it's brilliant for the players. I think it's brilliant for the companies. I think it exposes your games to a wider audience. Like, gamers, like, when we talk about 100 million versus a billion, we're 10%. And even within our subsection, you have people who, you know, follow the news, who are passionate, who go to all these panels and presentations, and we want to know, we got to know. And then you have people who are like, all right, it's out, oh, this is cool, like, I'm gonna go play it. And then so you have all different kinds of classes of people, even within the smaller subsection of the game, you know, game industry as a whole. And so I think bringing it to mobile is genius. Orphaning it on mobile to your core audience is the most umbrage that I take with
I hadn't thought about it as like a Pokemon Let's Go stepping stone.
Yeah.
If that's what it is, then imagine there being a day where you could go do your kind of meth runs on your lunch break, and then when you get home, you can go do your Rift Guardians, your harder console, where you feel more comfortable with a keyboard and mouse in that truly crossplay. I'm just going to pick this up where it makes sense to me. We're going to do high level Rifts. Let me get to my computer. Sorry, I was playing on my phone. Log out, log back in, pick up right.
Exactly.
Yo,
I think then at that point, like what, basically your experience off of what you've told me from your gameplay experience, that in my mind would be like, man, Diablo Immortal, what a cool, awesome concept. To where, yeah, you know what, I got 15 minutes, like on, like you said, like perfect on a lunch break. You know, nothing's happening. All right, I'm gonna go, you know, and get, you know, have some fun, and then pick right up when I get home and have that real Diablo experience.
This comes down back to like how it was presented,
right?
How it was announced. Imagine a world where they said, here's some free patch content we're doing in Diablo 3 over the next year,
right?
Right, just minor stuff, you know, minor events, whatever,
doesn't matter, but still,
seasonal stuff, cosmetics, But you know, you say that, then you say, hey, here's the Diablo Immortal, and then you say, by the way, here's a logo for Diablo 4, right?
Yeah,
it's a logo.
All it needs.
Probably working on it.
Yeah.
Just give people
I wish we could say something else, and behind him, it's just a 4.
Exactly. Exactly. It. That would have been so, people would have been so say. Excited. And then that brings them into the what's next Diablo in a jazzed up, excited way to kind of take that. All right. So here's my grand speculation. Here's the optimist in me. Is Diablo Immortal a learning opportunity for them to figure out how to make Diablo 4 to work on the phone so that the scenario in which that we described, where you could play on your phone, resume on console, resume on PC, to have that experience where our group of people, where Diablo becomes more than just your four friends who play it, becomes, okay, here's our clan, etc., and you're going to be wherever you need to be and you can still participate and have fun. Like, is this a good learning grounds for Blizzard to be able to set the stage properly for that vision that we have? Because Blizzard isn't a company that I feel will rush a game. They'll cancel it if it's not fun. I respect them for that because that helps them preserve, their IP. It helps them preserve their relationship with the gaming public. That's the only thing that's the positive thing I could take from this. The fact that I can't play Immortal on anything but a phone means that it's just not a game I'm going to play. But the optimist in me says that, man, hopefully they learn from that experience so that when Diablo 4 or Diablo 2 Remastered or whatever the next chapter for the Diablo fan base is, that they deliver it. And it's day one, like, oh man, like you thought, that was a good experience, but Blizzard freaking nailed it here and they set the bar, Anyway, I'd like to know your guys' thoughts.
So the question there being, do I think that this has a place in the long-term history of Blizzard? And do I think this is going to be able to keep that standard? These properties are huge. These mm-hmm. franchises are huge. And they may only have sequential orders like two or three, as opposed to Call of Duty is on like a dozen or something silly. But those titles carry weight. The title Diablo carries weight. The title Warcraft carries weight. The title StarCraft carries weight. Overwatch, for being such a young game, carries an enormous amount mm-hmm. of weight. So to say that they just want money, it's like, you have this incredible talent. Should they be in the mobile space with that name? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Does this company want to continue to be in business to develop games and have the amount of money that if they have a project that's not fun, they can just shut it down and not have to let go of those employees, but sit around and say, okay, it's shut it down. How do we keep as many of those employees as possible? Move them to another project that might also get canceled? Absolutely. And so do I think they can do mobile well? Yes. Do I think that they can use mobile as a way of kind of licensing out their content, maybe working with people who are good in the mobile space because they're not known for the mobile space. So mm-hmm. working with this company is a really easy way to say, hey, you have a working game, put our skin on it and let's just see where it goes. And if people love it, maybe we add features to it that your game didn't have, maybe we don't. And I think this is a smart move. I think the presentation, the way it was presented, the timing, what was presented was just filled with mistakes. Mm-hmm. And 100% of my disappointment around BlizzCon is centered on Diablo Immortal. And actually that's not a fair statement because it's actually not centered on the game itself. It's centered on the title Diablo Immortal, but the actual game, I liked the game fine.
It was fun.
It was the announcement and all of that. The rest of BlizzCon's been great.
Yeah. I don't know necessarily that it's like Blizzard learning to get into the mobile space as much as it is Blizzard putting something out there that'll capture new people who may not be familiar with Diablo.
And that's what's important.
Not be familiar with Blizzard, because right. That was a big part of Hearthstone, is like there are people who just play Hearthstone on their phone. Mm-hmm. They're not like fair Blizzard
point. Right, fair point. But yeah, that exposes them into the ecosystem. And that's the thing, it's like with Fortnite, like back to your point, you have all these kids playing Fortnite and they're playing it here, and here. It, them coming in, it's like, oh, why should I go play this Diablo game? I've never heard of it because it's not on my phone. And that's where it's like, yeah, I'm with you. Make it on the phone. I want to play it. And it's because it's like, I like Diablo. And y'all's experience when you were telling me hands-on, I was hoping you say like, Brian, this is awful. You're never going to want to touch it ever. Yeah. It should be burned on the trash heap, because then I could sit here and say, well, cool. But now if it's like, actually, they've delivered a really cool and fun experience, and I go, dad freaking gummin, why can't I have that experience where I am? Why do I have to go and do something that I'm just not going to do? It's nothing against anybody who enjoys mobile games, but I preserve my battery for running and for business calls. Like, that's just where I'm at in life. I'm sorry I couldn't take this important call. My cell phone battery was drained by Diablo. El Diablo killed my cell phone.
I'll play as long as I play Hearthstone.
Yeah.
4 hours than I'm probably willing to admit the first couple weeks. The same number after the first patch. And then it might still be installed. I don't know.
Yeah. And I want to say that, like, a lot of people focus on them working with NetEase, right? Mm-hmm. But like, you bought Pokemon Go earlier. Yeah. Pokemon Go is not made by the Pokemon company.
No, they actually even put it on top of another game.
Yeah, it's a reskin of Niantic's Breach or something like that.
No, I thought it started with an I, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's this other game with just this Pokemon skin on it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's this game that a lot of people really enjoyed and really loved and was like insanely popular for months, right?
Mm-hmm. Still, and people, it's still like puts out numbers that would like anybody would kill for.
It's still up there, but it's not like it was. There were people walking in the street that you had to like dodge.
I have never seen so many kids in a Texas summer at the park in my life. Like, I'm like, somebody bring the, oh no, they've got water. They came prepared. I had a kid, we went to church and there was this kid and we were like leaving mass and this kid asked his mom if he could walk home so he could catch Pokemon. And I'm like, it's 90 something degrees out there. Somebody's doing something right. That the fact is like, as long as they've got water and they're safe, and obviously there's some pretty sad and horror stories that they came with, the fact that people are out and about and being, and the community that just sprung up at the park was amazing. It was this really surreal and beautiful moment. I don't know if Diablo will be able to capture that moment, but at the same time, it will capture the market that is hungry for something that Blizzard, you know, that is a Blizzard IP that they don't know about it. The goal is that where do they go from there? Because the kid who plays Fortnite on his phone and goes home to play Fortnite with his friends on his PlayStation or his Xbox or his PC, if they come to expect that same thing, like, yeah, I'm playing Diablo. Oh, you've got Diablo on your Switch. And they're like, why don't these connect? Like, that, it's not going to make sense. Like, and they're not going to know. Like, maybe one kid at the school ground will, but like, I talked to my nephew who loves games, but it's always interesting the perception of a 13-year-old versus the perception of like an adult on the industry. It's like, oh yeah, he says things. I go, I'm not going to shoot him down. Like, I'm going to let him think that because it's not like, I don't want to be that jerky uncle. Be like, I'm sorry, kid. That's just not how life works. Go play your stupid video game.
Getting back to they could be setting a stage for Diablo 4 being in terms of the audience. Like, now these kids have played Diablo Immortal, and so then Diablo 4 gets announced next year, and we're like, it's on literally every platform at the same time.
Exactly.
It's theoretical, obviously. Like,
theoretical. You
know, yeah. And then, so now these people are familiar with Diablo, and now Diablo is Fortnite. Yeah. I mean, that might be shooting for the stars, but
you know. My final thought.
Why not try to do that? Why not take that risk if you're Blizzard, right?
I think I completely agree. The positive thing that could come out of this is that Blizzard has already said that they are working on other Diablo projects, as reported by Polygon. I don't know how many people are going to get that message outside of the fact is that they're just frustrated. But my final thought as it relates to that is that the only way in my mind is to go butt up. From here, they've learned this lesson. The messaging has been learned, but essentially, like, you come off of this and it's like the next BlizzCon, all they have to do is not announce another mobile game of like, you know, of a favorite franchise at the end of the thing. Like, you can literally, it's like the Sony's E3 conference, like they showed off some amazing games, but they're not really talking about the future. Like, literally anything they do in the next E3 or whatever is going to seem amazing. And it's like, oh my goodness. So the next BlizzCon, they sit down and say, and Diablo 2 remaster. And oh, like, and if 4 is nowhere ready, because they're going to take their time with the game. If it's not ready, they, you know, here's our Diablo project. Oh, and by the, like you said, and they just walk off to the number 4, you know, and some kind of like light cinematic, and people lose their mind. And all of a sudden it's like, all is forgiven. Time is the best healer here.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, I like you guys. What's y'all's final thoughts before we wrap up this conversation?
I think, I mean, we're wrapping up the end of BlizzCon for me here. This is my first one. Now I'm staying out one more day because I'm just part of a community with Kevin out here. And so tomorrow is actually just community events. This is our chance to, this community is full of people that currently play Blizzard games, don't play Blizzard games. I've been in and out of this community in various forms for years. I took years off a while, came back, the community was still there. My login into the community forum still worked. I'm excited to meet a lot of them and put faces with that. So I'm having a great weekend. I mean, are there things that, do I wish I knew for a fact that the things they talked about in WoW were going to fix it? Sure. But there's nothing they could have said on stage that's going to prove that.
Right.
So there's no reason to get upset because they said they're making Azerite adjustments. That's all they can say until I try them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, WoW Classic is a work in progress. They gave us a little bit of their design philosophy and what's going to guide that. And that's really all I can ask them. I have a lot of questions, but it's not done. They couldn't answer those if they wanted to.
Okay.
So I'm really happy with the experience. I'm really happy with my weekend. I'm looking forward to wrapping it up by just hanging out with a lot of people who I know their voices, and I have like preconceived notions about like how tall they are and what they look like, and I'm totally wrong. And so that's my final thoughts is I'm really happy with where Blizzard's at. And like you said, next year they could have the exact same amount of content and just have a microphone that doesn't crap out and keep content in an order that makes sense, and all of a sudden they are going to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
They were really in a position to have a very polished BlizzCon this year, and it's a bummer that such a small adjustment would have made it go so much smoother.
So last year was my first BlizzCon, and this one, like, again, mostly I come here to meet my online friends, really, honestly. Mm-hmm. We have friends from that community who come here and don't even get a BlizzCon ticket, and they just sit in the rental house and they'll have it on the virtual ticket on the TV, but they're like playing board games, they're drinking, they're just having fun, you know?
Yeah.
And so really what I come here for, but this one for me was, I'm extremely curious about WoW Classic. And so I wanted to like sate that curiosity, and it's more fun to do that in person and all that. And the only like, so I feel like we got a lot of good information. Like a lot of good information. Like people had a lot of questions that got answered, I feel like, even though there are obviously still more questions. There's always more questions. But like my one big issue is like the security stuff, like was a nightmare to start. Like, and I hope they figure that out for next year.
It wouldn't be hard to figure that out. They could have taken all of the metal detectors, put them in one area instead of being 10 wide and a bunch of 4 wides and stuff, and just have one that's 35 wide and there's one line, or shove everybody through it and it would have worked fine.
Yeah. And also, to be honest, that was like an opening day and a picking up your badge issue.
Yeah.
Today
we walked right in.
And also yesterday afternoon, evening, after maybe 1 o'clock or even, no one had reported to us, at least none of our friends, like was complaining about the security anymore. So
that's walked good. Right. That's in. Good to hear. Growing pains is always tough, you know, and especially when you're looking at Blizzard, when you look at the different things and the horrible things that have happened this year.
Yeah, the Jackson.
Nobody wants that headline. Nobody wants their people getting hurt. Like, it's like, nobody in Blizzard's like, oh yeah, we want our fans who are passionate about our games to come here and not be safe. And so it's easy to see, like, okay, let's overcorrect, you know, to the extreme, because that just is, I think it's a smart move. And then it's like, okay, well, we got some obviously logistical problems. There's so many, like, you got to say, like, okay, how do you solve the problem of 32,000 people coming in, and how do we get them in an orderly fashion? And then the show is starting. The curiosity is how is this going to play out in a couple of weeks when we're out of FanFest? Like, are we going to see the same level of security, the same level of that, and is it going to cause the same problems? Or it's Vegas too, because Vegas, like at a casino, should be pretty concerned with who's walking in the building anyway.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
So one thing I will say is that because of the sort of metal detectors and the security situation being different from last year, compared to last year, once you were in the security zone, it was actually a bit easier to get around. Mm-hmm. So if you've seen the Anaheim Convention Center, the front is like glass curved and there's like doors all along it, right? Mm-hmm. And so last year, you could not go in those doors. You could only go through like the four doors in the front, and there's other entrances, but for the main entrance, you could only go in those four doors in the front because they had bag check, but they didn't have the metal detectors like going to those doors. But now, because they have that sort of outer security cordon, you could just go in and out of those doors. And so once you were in the con, the flow was actually a lot better this year than last year.
Well, good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, you know, Kevin and Chris, thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day. I think you guys have some parties and events to go to, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to let you guys go have fun. Be fun. Be fun, absolutely. Be safe. Thank you guys again so much. If you guys have any questions for Kevin or Chris or myself, let us know in the comments below or tweet at I don't know Kevin's Twitter handle. Tweet at Chris at Work to Game over on Twitter, and he'd like to, you know, and say hi if you see him. So, all right, guys. For Work to Game, my name is Brian.
My name's Chris.
I'm Kevin. Nice to see you. Nice to meet you.
thanks so much for watching this video, and we'll talk to you next time. Oh, excuse me. What's up, workforce? Chuck here, telling you, you should totally like, favorite, subscribe, share, dance, raise your hands in the air. I'm off camera, I'm off frame, I'm new at this. Hey, listen, you, yes, you haven't hit that subscribe button, you totally should. I recommend it. Chuck approved. Anyway, also, thanks to all the Patreons, you're in the corners, whoa!